Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we jump into today's episode, we have got to talk about a company that we recently discovered, Harkla. Not only do they make high-quality sensory products and supplements, but the owners are also local to us in Boise.
We had the opportunity to sit down and chat with them, and our missions totally align. You know that we only recommend companies and products that we trust and use ourselves, which is why we're so excited to share this amazing company with you.
Stay tuned to hear more later in this episode, as well as to get a special discount.
Okay, let's start today's episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Sensory Project Show. You're listening to your good friends Rachel and Jessica, and this is episode 129.
Woohoo! Okay, so we got a question from someone on Instagram, and they asked about how to create a sensory diet for a child with low registration. We've talked in the past about, you know, kids with higher arousal level and how to help them feel more calm so that they can do activities. But this is the opposite, and we hadn't talked about it before. So here we are talking about it now.
Yeah. So first of all, we need to kind of unpack what low registration even is. And so the term refers to the person's ability to not notice or respond to important sensory information. So they're basically having a low response. They're not responding. They're responding less than what a typically developing person or a person with a typical sensory system, how they would react to a specific sensory input.
Yeah, so these kiddos have a high threshold to sensory experiences, and they don't detect changes in their environment or in their sensory systems. And these kids might appear passive or just like uninterested.
Yeah, they're kind of the kids that are like bumps on a log.
So what does this mean exactly?
Dun, dun, dun. So these kiddos, they often seem lethargic, they're uninterested, or they're kind of just in a world on their own.
Yeah, so kids with low registration, or I mean, even adults, anyone with low registration, they're not in touch with their bodies, and oftentimes they might demonstrate low muscle tone, poor endurance, and delayed motor skills.
Yeah, so these kids often need more sensory input in order to help them be alert to find that optimal level of arousal. But the problem is they're not seeking it out. They're not jumping off the walls. They're not bouncing and going crazy. They're not naughty. They're the easy kids who just kind of fall between the cracks. And that's what's challenging with these low registration kiddos, is that you don't often know that they're not registering the sensory input. They're not going to tell you. You're not going to be able to see it with their body language unless you really know what to look for.
Yeah, exactly. These are the kids that just, they fall between the cracks. Nobody notices them. They're just like Rachel said, they're the good kids. They're the good babies too. This is a huge red flag, you guys. If your infant doesn't cry, if they don't react to input, you know, we think, oh my gosh, it's such an easy, good baby, but it could be a red flag for low registration.
Yes, and by red flag, we don't want to freak you out. Just know that you should be aware of this. This is something to have on your radar so you can check it out and implement some strategies if you're finding that they are a child with low registration.
Yeah. Like Rachel said, these kids are not bouncing off the walls. So kids with low registration are not as enthusiastic about sensory activities. And this really goes along with praxis. And we've talked about praxis before, you know, the ability to come up with an idea, execute it, follow through. And these kids with low registration, because they're not as in touch with their bodies, they're going to struggle with praxis. So they're not going to know how to complete activities to help, you know, wake them up.
Exactly. So another thing to keep in mind is that when you're giving directions or addressing the child with low registration, give them more time for like shifting their attention to you, because then you're going to get frustrated if you think that they're not listening to you. They're going to get frustrated because you're telling them the same thing over and over and over again, but they just might not hear your first few words or sentences if they're more lethargic or if they're attending to something else. It's not that they don't want to listen.
Right. It's, you know, these kids, because they don't notice sensory input like they should, you know, they might not hear you the first time that you're speaking to them because their auditory system is not registering that someone is talking to them.
Yeah. You have to think about all of the systems. It's not just movement and it's not just tactile input. Like, your auditory system is a sensory system. And we have to give it time to process and adapt and change and modulate what's going on in the child's environment.
Yeah. And so, you know, these kiddos are going to really, really benefit from using picture schedules or lists or some type of reminders for tasks. And I mean, all kids need this or will benefit from this, of course, but particularly kids with low registration because they're not taking in the sense world as much, these picture schedules can really help them to get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about our five top activities to help these kids with low registration and low arousal level.
This is why you're here.
All right, so the first one is fast vestibular input and inversion. So things like swinging and jumping and running or laying upside down over a therapy ball. And with this input, you want to make sure it's like a fast start and stop. So swing five times and then stop them really quickly as long as they're safe to do so. And shake, shake, shake their swing. So they have to stop and process that input and then swing in a different direction five times and then abruptly stop them and shake, shake, shake five times. So Simon Says is another good one where you can have them run, 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 and then stop. And then run backwards and then stop. Run sideways and then stop. So you can give them those instructions to make it a little bit more engaging.
Yeah, and so the key here is going to be really teaching the child that this type of input helps their bodies feel awake. And if you're using the zones of regulation, you can also teach them that their body's in the blue zone a lot, that their body moves slow, and we want them to be up in the green zone so they can learn and play. And so teaching them that these types of fast movement activities help their bodies feel more alert and ready to learn in the green zone, that's going to be really helpful for increasing their independence. For kiddos that maybe are at a level where they can't follow the zones necessarily, this is where using just pictures for these different activities is going to be really helpful in letting them choose which fast movement they want to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, making it really fun and exciting for them to do these alerting activities.
Yes. And you guys know we love the BrainWorks cards to make our sensory diet so that your child can pick the activity that they want. They can put it in order. They have to follow the sequence. So that's, we'll link that in the show notes as well, those BrainWorks sensory diet cards. Okay, another one that we love is alerting oral motor input. So this is stuff that goes in the mouth, like mint gum or sour gum, blowing bubbles, sour candy. One game that we like to do, it's like a minute to win it type game, but like taking a straw and sucking an M&M and holding it while you're transferring it from one bowl to the other bowl. So,
it's so hard.
It is, but you're getting a lot of input. Like, you would be drinking through a straw, but you don't have to eat is what's great about this one. You can just play this game real quick and wake up the body and then go back to whatever you're doing or your child was doing.
Yeah, I really like the idea of like those intense flavors. So, you know, like Rachel said, the mint gum, sour candy, even like spicy foods. If your kid's into spicy foods, then incorporating more flavors and spice into their diet.
Another thing that we love in this area is sour spray. So we use the Warheads sour spray, and there's another one called Two Tarts. And the Two Tarts sour spray is the more natural one that doesn't have the food dyes, but it's not as sour. But most of our kiddos love this sour spray, and they'll do anything to have a squirt of the sour spray. So it's very motivational. And also it really increases their awareness in their mouths, and it wakes them up because you pucker those lips right up.
And I think for these kids with low registration, you can just incorporate it into their daily routine of, you know, before breakfast, they get a squirt of that sour spray to kind of help wake them up. And then maybe after school or after some schoolwork is done or before schoolwork, they get that squirt of sour spray. And it's just part of their daily routine in order to help them wake up and be ready.
I like that you mentioned before breakfast, because sometimes our kids with low registration, they might choke on their food more often because they're not registering where it is in their mouth.
So, or they're putting too much in.
Yes. And so having that sour spray beforehand, it kind of wakes everything up and helps the body know where their tongue is, where their cheeks are, so that way they can eat more appropriately and more functionally.
Absolutely. And, you know, we didn't really mention that very much in the beginning of this episode, but, you know, this low registration will for sure affect a child's ability to eat safely because chances are they're going to overstuff. They're going to put too much food in their mouth because they can't feel how much is there. So using the sour spray, using vibration to the mouth before they eat, using, you know, strategies to take smaller bites. Maybe you're putting their food into like ice cube trays, and so they can only take one piece out at a time. Or, you know, just finding those strategies to help them be safe and more aware. Use a mirror at the table is a great strategy as well.
Yep. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. All right. Number three of our top five activities. So we love to use bright, fast-moving visual input. So things like spinning tops. There's a game that we have. You like twist the tops on this little device, and then you push the button and it releases them, and then you can stack the tops. So that's a really fun one. Things like flashing lights, or those like sensory balls, tactile balls that have the flashing lights inside of them that you kind of bang or you bounce, and then the lights go on. We just have to disclaimer kids who have a history of seizures, make sure that you get the okay to do these flashing lights and these visual activities with these kiddos.
Yep. Using high contrast visuals with activities is really helpful too. So oftentimes these kids might struggle with, you know, reading and writing activities because their visual system is so under responsive. So if you could incorporate highlighters, different color markers or pens, that kind of thing, then that can be really helpful as well.
All right, guys, let's talk a little bit more about today's sponsor, Harkla. Like we said earlier, they make high quality products, things like sensory swings, weighted items, compression sheets, and supplements that everyone can benefit from.
If Rachel can successfully install a swing in her house, and if you didn't see her Instagram stories a while back, then you're missing out. You guys need to just watch them because it was great. But if Rachel can do it, then you can too. Not saying anything bad about Rachel. I'm just saying that it's so easy. It's a simple process that takes less than a day and provides results that will basically last as long as your house does.
And if you're in a clinic setting, this company is perfect for all of your sensory needs. Their equipment will withstand even the roughest of sensory seekers, and with their lifetime guarantee, should something crazy happen, they will replace it.
Okay, stay tuned, because at the end of this episode, we're going to give you a discount for when you purchase an item from Harkla.
All right, number four, fast-paced music and metronome activities.
Yeah, so this is a great way to get the auditory system going. So if your child likes music, find some really fast, music that they can listen to that gets their body moving as well. Maybe do some dancing with it.
Dance party, yeah.
Exactly. It's actually really funny because, so we're recording this episode on a Monday, and Logan and I are, you know, up. I'm doing some work. He's getting his online school stuff going. And during one of his breaks, he was like, okay, let's go brush our teeth. And he didn't want to do it. He's like, ugh, because he's been on a screen for like 20, 30 minutes, you know? And I'm like, all right, we're going to listen to music while we go brush our teeth. What song do you want? And he's really into Fireball by Pitbull. Song. So I turned that song on my phone and we went upstairs and we brushed our teeth and we danced while we brushed our teeth, and he just was in such a great mood after we did that. So, you know, just getting your body moving and dancing to that music can be so helpful.
I don't think I've met someone who doesn't smile at least with music that they like, you know, or if you're dancing and you're having a good time, it's really hard for kids to stay serious and not smile and have a good time with you. So I love that you did that. That's so cute.
You know, I think of the Baby Shark
song, yes,
and music video for some of our littler kids.
Oh, yes.
And for those kids who are just so unaware of their environment and what they're doing because they have that low registration, then that song and that music video, oh my gosh, it's such a miracle worker.
It is. Do you remember when we were working in the church and we had the piano?
I sure do.
And I'd play Baby Shark on the piano and,
yep.
Oh, I think it was more for me. I loved it so much. It
have just made me happy. Have you played it for Trip yet?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. He loves it as much as he can.
All right. And you guys know we love the metronome, so incorporating the metronome into activities is going to really help as well.
We actually have a 30-day multisensory processing course that incorporates different metronome activities. And so it kind of walks you through basics to advanced on some metronome work. So we'll link that in the show notes as well if you're needing some ideas rather than just clapping with the metronome. So go ahead and check that out.
Totally. All right. Number five, last one. We like to use different scents, different smells. And you know that there is like lavender to help feel calm and ready for bed. Well, there's also scents that are alerting to the olfactory system. So this can be a great strategy as well.
Yep. So some of our favorites are citrus smells like grapefruit, lemon, orange. Now, whether you're using essential oils or just like fruits in general, or lotion, like you can use anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be essential oils. Spicy smells. Do things smell spicy?
Cinnamon? Like a cinnamon smell?
Cinnamon. Nutmeg. Pumpkin pie spice.
Ooh, yeah. Pumpkin spice.
Yeah. And then mint is another good one.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. Don't just think about gum. I mean, think about, like, I use essential oils and there's lots of different types of mint smells. So if your kid doesn't like peppermint, try spearmint or wintergreen, or are there any others? Those are the three that I can think of.
Those are the three that I think of.
Polar ice.
There you go. So some really simple ways that you can incorporate scents into your kiddo's routine is to use, you know, jewelry. So, you know, maybe your little boys don't want to do jewelry, although some boys do like to wear jewelry, you never know. But, you know, I'm thinking specifically for like girls who want to wear bracelets, buy some of the fabric scrunchies, put the essential oil drops on the scrunchie, and then let them wear it as a bracelet.
Totally. And you can even just like grab a piece of cloth for a guy and put a little drop on there, let them pick out a fabric that they like and just make a little bracelet, put a drop on that so they feel regulated and good. But also less is more. I mean, we've had kids come into the clinic who use essential oils and I don't know what happens, but the entire clinic smells like that essential oil. So a little bit goes a long ways, you guys. You don't want to stink up the whole place that you're going.
Yeah, start with one little drop. It really is enough. I was just thinking, too, like for the bandanas, you know, you can wear them around your neck. Or, you know, if your kid really likes to wear ties. So, like, my son Logan really likes his ties. He even bought a whole set of ties with his own money. So you can use those.
That's cute. Right now, with all of our masks, I've put a drop of essential oil on my mask. But you have to be careful with this one. Don't put it on the inside of the mask. Put it on, like, the outside bottom corner where it's not going to touch your skin because it can bother skin. I mean, and it's strong, so you really only need just a tiny little bit, but sometimes that can help these kiddos just wake on up. They can smell a smell that they love that maybe they don't love it, but it wakes them up, and so it's benefiting them.
And I think that if they don't like it at first, they might learn to like it, because even if a kid isn't fully aware of how it changes their arousal level, what's going to happen is they're going to have that scent and they're going to start to have better days, better moments. They're going to be happier. And even if they can't verbalize and say it's because of this, they're still going to associate it with that scent.
Exactly. And going along with that, Jessica, it's important to try these strategies for at least 2 weeks before you say, yes, it worked, or no, it didn't work.
Yep. All right, you guys, that is it for low registration.
Yeah, I think this was a good episode. I'm glad we got this question. We should probably address real quick how to make a sensory diet with these activities. Now, what you can do is just, you know, we gave you a whole big list. Choose five of them or have your child choose five of them and just go boom, 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 boom. Do all five of those. Keep it quick. Maybe 10, 15 minutes, and do it 2-3 times a day. And there you go. There's your sensory diet.
And then always, always, always just watch your child for adverse reactions. So yes. Watch their facial expressions, watch their eyes, watch the colors in their cheeks. And if you notice any differences, you know, keep track of it. Ask them how they're feeling. Do they need a break? Do they want to keep going? And just really keep an eye out, because sometimes there could be too much input. And so then you need to kind of scale it down.
Yep. And we always say, when in doubt, probe it out, but first heavy work. So if you're doing some of those number one activities, the vestibular activities, always, always, always incorporate with heavy work. So those proprioceptive activities, big hugs, squeezes, compression and stretching to their joints. So that way it's minimizing those adverse reactions.
Yep. If you guys have questions, you can message us on Instagram. If you have a minute of your time, you can leave us a review on iTunes. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, guys, we will plan on chatting with you next week.
Boom. See you later.
All right, you guys, one more quick reminder about today's sponsor, Harkla Co., a family-owned company that provides therapy and sensory equipment along with supplements. We love them. We love their mission. We love their equipment. And we love that 1% of each month's sales goes to the University of Washington's Autism Center, which funds cutting-edge research and sponsors scholarships for children with autism to attend a summer camp. How cool is that?
For real. I love it. They're great. They're local to Boise, which is really cool for us, but I mean, it's still cool for everyone else too. But if you're ready to jump in and check these guys out, go to harkla.co, harkla.co, and you can save 10% on any of their products by using the code SENSORY, SENSORY. Make sure you let us know what your thoughts are and definitely go check them out.
So excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.